to the Buddha, to the Dharma, to the Sangha. Our master used to say that before we ever longed for the eternal longed for us. Now the way you could put this is that the eternal is always beckoning us calling us or drawing us back into harmony with itself. That inner light of faith can be said to be our own Buddha nature's recognition of itself within us and in all things. It shines through all the layers of our ignorance. If the precepts can be said to show us the what of the spiritual life, and meditation and mindfulness show us the how the spiritual life, then faith can be said to show us the why the spiritual life. This is true both when it exists as the seed of faith, the indestructible seed of faith that resides in all beings, and it is true when that seed of faith ripens and grows into genuine religious understanding, which here does not refer to an intellectual understanding or learning, but to that blood and bones certainty that the eternal is, the Buddha nature is, and is an unborn and dying refuge for us and for all beings. When people convince themselves that there is no why, to existence, they end up walking a path of despair. Whether it be a path of desperate striving or a path of desperate resignation, giving up on life. It will inevitably be a path of despair. If we were to try to rely on intellect alone, we inevitably end up walking such a path of despair. And this, of course, is something that has been very common in modern times, but by no means unique to modern times. By modern times, I mean the last couple hundred years. In especially the more so-called advanced countries, technologically advanced countries, scientifically advanced countries, where many people have convinced themselves against the evidence of their own intuition and the evidence of their own heart that there is no real why, no real reason, spiritual reason for our existence. And doctrines, opinions that come out of such a worldview are, to put it mildly, tedious in the extreme, and incredibly self-centered. Where there's only self to fall back on. And this is tedious because self is an illusion. It ends up in a whole lot of wheel spinning and fuss and bother and a whole lot of theorizing. About what amounts to nothing more than empty-headed theories, speculations. And this comes from convincing oneself and allowing other people to convince one. There's no real spiritual meaning to life. And there is nothing greater than the selfish self. One does not have to posit the existence of an external deity or any number of external deities in order to know that there is something greater than the selfish self. In order to come to know that the selfish self is an illusion, a non-existent focal point of karma. One only has to be still, turn within, and as Dogen put it so magnificently, throw away selfish opinions, old emotions, arrogance and obstinacy, and learn the true mind of the Lord with the naive mind of a child. The truth is that all beings do in fact possess the Buddha nature. nothing and no one can ever be separated from it in reality. And that is always available to those who are willing to turn within, let go of external things, let go of silly opinions, let go of what parents and educators foisted upon one, and be still in the depths of one's own being. And within that stillness, there simply is that knowing without knowing, which is the light of faith, which is a seed of genuine certainty. It simply is. We do not create it. Our activity did not create it. Our stillness is not created. It's just that when we are still, it can finally get a word in edgeways. We're not wasting time running around in our heads. We're not being swept away by our emotions. Opinions and emotions. We sit still enough that we drop down underneath the opinions and the emotions into that infinitely deep well of stillness. There it is. I remember when I was a young person just starting meditation, I read it somewhere or I heard it somewhere that one day the meditation would drop down from the head, down from the chest, down into the hara, down into the abdomen. And I remember that pretty early on that started to happen every now and then. I'd experience that. Things would go really still. And I'd sense that down in the hara, down in the abdomen, there was this inexpressible sense of a kind of well of peace and stillness. And it's like everything radiated from there. That was the center of things, which was a new experience for someone who'd mostly spent his life running around in his head. I remember what a relief it would be to be able to go to that place. I never could will it to happen. I still can't. It just would happen now and then. And over the years of training, it happened more and more. There's nothing theoretical about this, nothing complex or difficult to understand about it, so long as you're not trying to understand it intellectually. If you are just allowing yourself to understand it first in terms of faith, that is, trusting that the things that the Buddhas and ancestors have taught us will happen, trusting that they will happen. And then in terms of experience, once one has experienced it, well, then one knows, well, this does happen. Yes, they were right, this does happen. Only when one starts running around one's head about these things do they become complex or difficult to understand. In fact, they're impossible to understand, so there's no point in even trying in that way. Yet they're so easy to understand in terms of faith and in terms of actual experience. And that's a truly wonderful and rather amazing thing. It's like someone who pounds on the door of a house trying to get in, tries to pick the lock, tries to get in the windows, tries everything they can think of, rents a bulldozer, tries to bulldoze their way in, but can't get in. One day they actually just try ringing the doorbell and someone opens the door. That's like what happens in meditation. We just need to calm down, actually behave ourselves. Treat ourselves and others with respect. And that door's just dying to swing open for us. Before we ever longed for the eternal was longing for, beckoning, calling, inviting us in. Homage to all the Buddhas in all worlds. Homage to all the Bodhisattvas in all worlds. Homage to the scripture of great wisdom.